purpose in every step. Change has come upon you, for the greater one lives in you. For if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit shall vitalize your mortal bodies. Somebody shout hallelujah. Life in the kingdom is beautiful. You are his workmanship. You were born to live the glory life. Now, that's the Christ life.
And now for the Word of God with Pastor Abel.
You know, we can only do this much. And we can always also depend on the Holy Spirit to do those things that we cannot do. Hallelujah. I sent you a scripture this morning that said, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And when the wicked are in authority, we grumble like we've been grumbling for a while now. Jesus said in John 14, in verse 14, he said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That simply means that even if the thing you are asking does not exist, he will do it. That's what he said. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Simply means, even if it does not exist, he can fix it for us. Glory to God. It's important that we learn to pray for our nation. If you don't pray for the nation, maybe you feel like you didn't come from this country, so it does not really bother you. That is the height of ignorance. Because whatsoever happens here will affect you. Whether your parents live elsewhere, whether you've got your children abroad somewhere, whatever happens here will affect you. On Sunday, we were talking about the dimension of kings. There is a way kings operate. There's a way kings function. There is a mindset of kings. Kings operate in a certain way. They have a certain mindset. They function in a certain way. They don't think like the ordinary people do. I was doing a teaching here once, and I was talking to you about Mephibosheth. Remember, Mephibosheth was the son of, not the son of Saul, the son of Jonathan. You see, Jonathan and David had a covenant. And when David became king, Jonathan was dead. But years later, the scripture says that David woke up one morning and he said, look, does anybody know if there is a descendant of the house of Saul? That means whether he was from Jonathan's, was one of Jonathan's children or was from his father, King Saul. He said, does anybody know if there is anybody from the family of Saul? He didn't say what he wanted to do. He just said, does anybody know if there is a descendant from that family? I want to tell you something tonight before we pray. And I want you to listen carefully to me. No matter how low you are, you might be, you have enemies. No matter how far you go, you have enemies. There is a way kings think. Kings function in a certain way. They don't think like everybody thinks. They think differently. That's why as a Christian, if you still think like the natural man thinks, you will suffer like the natural man suffers. You must start thinking different. There's a dimension of kings. It's not only in their words. On Sunday, we're talking about their words. But you see, it's not only in their words. How many of you were in the second service on Sunday? Okay, if you were not in the second service, you probably missed out on the dimension of kings. Because that was the message in the second service. That was not in the first service. And we said that the dimension of kings, we were looking at the factor of the words of a king. We said where the word of a king is, there is power. But there is also a dimension of kings in the way they think and the way they operate, the way they function. So David woke up one morning and he said, does anybody know? Now, remember, those of you who know the Bible, you know that as at the time that Saul died and Jonathan died, let me give you a little bit of the background. King Saul was the king in Israel, and David was anointed king as a small boy. You know the story now. Now, when David was anointed as king, he did not become king immediately until one day he killed Goliath. You know the story of Goliath. So when he killed Goliath, his fame began to rise. His fame began to go abroad, and the king became jealous of David. The king became jealous of David. David was a small boy. How old was David when he killed Goliath? Anybody knows? Talk to me. How old was he? 17. Did you say 17 or 16? If you say 16, 17. Okay, if you say 17, let me see your hand. If you say 16, let me see your hand. Okay, David was 17 when he killed Goliath. He was a young boy. And because the anointing was on him to operate and to function the way he was functioning, his fame began to go abroad because a man's gift makes a way for him. Not a man's position. You see, in spiritual matters, you must be very careful when you become a Christian. Because sometimes, even when they put you in a position, that position will not establish you. It is not what men have given you. It is what God has given you. So the king became jealous of David and planned to kill him. Excuse me. King Saul was the king. David was just a young boy. And the king began to haunt David to kill him. The more he tried to kill David, the closer David became to his son, to the son of the king called Jonathan. And every time the king said to his son, Jonathan, I want you to take this, Jonathan would say, I want to share with David. One day, King Saul called his son, Jonathan, sat him down. He said to him, he said, my son, he said, you are not wise. You are stupid. That boy called David will take over your position. Jonathan said to his father, he said, father, I am already a prince. It does not matter what happens to David. But if God wishes to give it to David, let it be so. He was a wise man because he knew that nobody receives anything except it is given to him from above. I'm trying to pursue something and I want you to follow me carefully. The scripture says, the longer Saul lasted on the throne, the more he hated King David. He hated David, who was a small boy. And the more he hated David, the more he drew closer to his own destruction. Until he died. Unfortunately, on the day King Saul died, he died with Jonathan, his son. Same day. And David eventually became king. I'm cutting the story short. So many years later, David remembered the covenant he made with Jonathan and decided that, oh, I am now a king. I need to remember that me and Jonathan had a covenant. So the Bible says David woke up one morning and he announced in his palace. He said, please, does anybody know if there is a descendant of Jonathan or Saul? Anybody from that house? And everybody said, look, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. And then somebody said, oh, King David, live forever. There is a man called Ziba. Ziba was a servant in the palace in the days of King Saul. He is the only one who will have news. He will be able to tell us. So they went and they called Ziba. And Ziba came. And when Ziba came, David said to him, do you know if there is any descendant of Saul anywhere? Ziba, in his mind, he knew that David and Saul were enemies. So he quickly volunteered information because in his mind he's thinking, David wants to take revenge. He thought David wanted to take revenge. So he said to David, David, Jonathan had a son. And as soon as he said Jonathan had a son, David said, ah, where is he? I want to honor him. I had a covenant with his father. Where is Mephibosheth? Ziba told him, he said, look, Jonathan had a son. His name is Mephibosheth. And when Ziba heard that David had a plan to honor Mephibosheth, suddenly the story changed. He said to David, he said to King David, he said, David, he said, listen, you shouldn't waste your time. The guy is a cripple. He's not just a cripple. He lives in Lodibar. Listen carefully to me. I want you to understand something. I told you, I said, no matter how low you are, you have enemies. No matter how high you get, you will always have enemies. That's why if you are a Christian, you will not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. It's a message Pastor Chris preached, titled Anticipating Evil. I think you should go and get that CD and listen to it. It is part of the dimension of kings to be aware of their enemies and to be aware of their craftiness and their operations. Mephibosheth was born, the Bible tells us that he was born in King Saul's house. He was born to Jonathan, and when he was born, he was still small. And the nurse that was carrying him, one day the nurse threw him down and the little baby became crippled. They could not treat the legs. The baby became paralyzed. I want you to understand the people who paralyzed Mephibosheth were those who were paid to nurse him. Your enemies can be anywhere. I came tonight to prop up something in your spirit and make you pray. Because if you do not learn to be alert to the move of spiritual activities around you, you will become a victim. With your new creation atmosphere, you will still be a victim. There are forces that have vowed you will not work in life. There are forces that have vowed that if you work, you cannot run in life. There are forces that have vowed that if you run, you cannot fly. There are forces that have vowed that if you fly, you won't come down. There are forces that have vowed that if you sleep, you shouldn't wake up. It's a mindset you must have. It's a dimension of kings. They know to look out for their enemies. I told you the other day that King Herod said to the wise men, he said, the wise men came to King Herod and said, we heard a king has been born. We're looking for where he's been born. King Herod said, please go and look for him. When you find him, come and tell me, let me also go and worship him. And I told you, not everybody looking for you is looking for you to greet you. They won't tell you until they have shaken your hands with poison. As soon as Ziba heard that David was looking for Mephibosheth to honor him, the scripture said that the language changed. Mephibosheth said to Ziba said to King David, the boy you are looking for is a cripple. Why are you looking for him? He's not good enough. He lives in Lo Debar. Lo Debar was the place where the poorest of the poor lived. It was out of town. David said, I don't care. Wherever Mephibosheth is, I am sending the king's chariot to go bring him. I pray for you today that wherever you need to be remembered, you will be remembered. That no matter the conspiracy of the wicked to stop your good from coming to you, they will be disappointed in their craftiness. I have two scriptures I wanted to read tonight. My spirit keeps going away from it. There is a dimension with which kings operate. Our key scripture on Sunday to this message was found in Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9 and 10. It said, the reason why Jesus died, he was slain, he died, poured his blood, was so that he can raise us as kings and priests unto himself, that we might reign on the earth. So I said that you must understand that it is not your choice. It is the resurrection of Jesus that made you a king. And if you don't function in that dimension, you will be a victim in life. You'll be a victim. Why would Ziba conspire against a cripple? This guy, his grandfather was dead. His father was dead. He was now living down. This is a prince. This guy was supposed to be a prince, but in spite of his inheritance, he had nothing. Yet his enemies were still looking for how to put him down. So the scripture says that David said, go bring Mephibosheth for me. Ziba was angry. Ziba was not happy. Ziba, may God deliver you from Ziba. Wherever, listen carefully to me, there are Zibas all around you. They will smile at you in front of you. When you turn your back, they will look for how to stab you and kill you. There are Zibas all over the place, trust me. I've heard some people who say to me, I don't have any enemy. And I laugh when I hear those things, because those are the most stupid people that live on earth. Listen carefully, even God has enemies. You cannot be better than God. That is why when the politicians are campaigning, like they've been campaigning the past few weeks, and I see people running after them anyhow, my heart bleeds. Listen, a politician will always be a politician. Are you hearing me? There will always be a political. That's why God has to give you the wisdom to vote correctly. Don't vote party. Vote for righteousness. All that money they shared to mobilize people all over, they must recoup that money before they will do service delivery for you. All the money they shared in campaign, they will first recoup that money into their pockets. There were politicians going from house to house giving people money. And people will collect that money to vote. How can you sell your conscience and sell your future and sell your destiny and sell the generation to come for 400 rand? There was something about Ziba I want to mention before we pray. Ziba was a servant in the house of the king. You know how many children he had? Anybody? Ziba had 15 children. He was a servant. The king didn't have 5. Him. You see, by their fruit, you will know them. He was not just fruitful, he was a greedy man. When eventually Mephibosheth was brought, the scripture says that Mephibosheth was in Lodibar and the king remembered him. In spite of the conspiracies, this is where I want to point you to, and so get me here. In spite of the conspiracy of Ziba against Mephibosheth, the scripture says that David's heart could not depart from the covenant he had. I want you to understand that the blood speaks better and speaks stronger than any satanic conspiracies. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Our establishment and our promotion is not based on anything. It's based on what Jesus did. Mephibosheth was about to benefit not from what his physical ability had provided for him, not from his qualifications, not because he didn't have enemies, but because he had a father called Jonathan who had gone into a covenant with David. Are you listening to me tonight? I want you to understand we're going into a season when all that will speak for you will be the blood of the Son of God that was shed on the cross for you. Not your qualifications, not your physical abilities. There might be physical disabilities, but the blood makes you qualified for the position. There was a covenant. There was a covenant. When Ziba was busy conspiring, he did not take into consideration the power of the covenant. The scripture says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things. So why are you so confident? He said, because Jesus died for me. So why are you so sure it's going to end well? You said, because Jesus did not die for nothing. So if I was the only one in the world, I know Jesus would still have come to die. His death was not for nothing. Can I say this to you tonight? When your persuasion, your convictions, your personal convictions and persuasions about the death and the resurrection of Jesus overtakes everything about your mindset, then it becomes impossible for any system in the world to stop you or to deprive you from going forward. Listen, they can slow you down. Listen, they can delay. Listen, they can conspire. Listen, they can have meetings and say you are not qualified. But when they are done with their conspiracies at night, the blood will speak for you at day. Say, your father who sees in secret said he will reward you in the open. I said to them in Montana on Sunday, I said something and I want to repeat it here this evening. Listen carefully. It is not our effort. It is not our personal
motivation. It does not have to be whether you like it or not. It is a settled matter that when God glorifies and lifts up a man, he does it openly. Whether you like it or you like it. Now, you don't have an option in this matter. So it's whether you like it or you like it. So, well, I don't like it. So what? It's not dependent on you. It's not a matter for voting. God's not taking your opinion into consideration. So, well, I don't like God. I don't want God to promote me physically. It's not your opinion. He said when he promotes, he will do it how? Openly. So if your testimony is still about the things God have done, nobody is seen yet, your story has not started. The story has not begun. You see, the promotion and the elevations of God are such that he does it until he gets to a point where the blind can see that God has promoted you. The deaf can hear that God has promoted you. Are you getting what I'm talking about? It becomes impossible for your enemies to argue the case that God has not lifted you. Mephibosheth was sitting in Lodibar, waiting. Just there. As far as he was concerned, his life was finished. Because he was now a grown-up man, crippled, paralyzed. Not because of his personal doing, but because of nurses that had become enemies. Those who were supposed to nurse him had destroyed his future. But the blood of the covenant was speaking for him. Because when the Lord turns again the captivity of Zion, it's always like a dream. You wake up one morning and then suddenly you realize that your day has come. And the joy of one day wipes away the sorrows of many years. God is reaching somebody today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Suddenly, the king's limousine arrived in Lodibar. With all the dust and all the mess, they saw the king's chariot raising dust, heading for Lodibar. And everybody was wondering, what is the king going to do in Lodibar? He was not going for a campaign. Somebody had been remembered by heaven. And when heaven remembers you, it does not matter where the system has kept you. Are you listening to me tonight? When heaven remembers you, it does not matter what the family have said. It does not matter what the family has agreed. King's chariot arrived, Lodibar. It came with the dust. And they began to ask, where is Mephibosheth? When Mephibosheth heard that the king was looking for him, he said to himself, my grandfather's sins have caught up with me. I know my day of punishment is here. Because anybody who grew up in Israel knew that David was at enmity with the house of Saul. Actually, the Bible records that the promotion of David was the demotion of the house of Saul. So when Mephibosheth heard that the king's chariot was in the location looking for him, he said, my end has come. The king's servants took him, put him on the chariot. I'm sure he began to confess his sins. I must have said, I know my last day on earth has come. And the scripture says they brought him straight to the king's palace. When he came to the king's palace, they took him down from the king's palace. He was a cripple. He couldn't work. They dragged him into the palace, brought him before King David. David looked at him and said, are you the son of my covenant friend, Jonathan? He said, listen to what Mephibosheth said. Mephibosheth said, I am not a human being. I am a dog. Mephibosheth said, I am a dog. Why would the king want to have anything to do with a dog like me? The king said to him, don't worry. He said, Mephibosheth, from today, you will sit at the table with me. Listen. When the king said to Mephibosheth, you will sit at the king and you will eat from the king's table. This is what the king was trying to say. You see, when you sit at the table, nobody sees your legs. Are you hearing what I want to say? The king was saying, listen to me, son. I'm going to put you in a place where your disabilities will mean nothing to me anymore. I'm going to hide your disabilities permanently. And I'm going to make sure that that which was your disability becomes your glory. Because people will serve you where you are seated. I pray for you today. Whatsoever the world have used to disqualify you, the God of heaven, the glories of heaven, will cover your disabilities. Cover your disabilities. Cover your weaknesses. Cover your impotence. Cover your handicaps. In the mighty name of Jesus. Twice in that passage, the king said to the man, he said, don't worry, you will sit at the table with me. He said, you will sit at the table. He wasn't talking about food. He was talking about discussing state matters. The king turned around and said, Ziba, where are you? Ziba said, my lord, I'm here. Then the king said to Ziba, he said, Ziba, you and your children will serve Mephibosheth. I pray for you today. Those who have conspired your going down, the Lord will make them your footstool. Every system that was set to work against you, the God of this commission will bring you to a point where that system will become your stepping stone to glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. They have ridiculed you. They have said you are not qualified because you don't have certain documents. They have said you don't qualify because you don't speak certain languages. They have said you don't qualify because of the color of your skin. They have said you don't qualify because you don't belong by virtue of human standards, human estimations, and human qualifications. But there is an anointing that I feel so strong. Come upon me tonight. It is the anointing that qualifies those who are not qualified. It is the anointing that takes away every handicap. It is the anointing that announces those that the system has kept in the background. Somebody is being remembered. I said, somebody is being remembered. I said, somebody is being remembered. Somebody is being remembered. The system will remember you. In the name of Jesus. I hear so strong in my spirit. I hear so strong in my spirit. It was not the wise men who remembered Mephibosheth. It was not the people in town. It was not the family. It was the king. It was the king who remembered Mephibosheth. It was the king who had a blood pact. It was the king who had a blood covenant that had remembered. I pray for you today. The one who gave his blood for you is remembering you tonight. I didn't hear your amen now. The Bible says, and God remembered Sarah. Took away her embarrassment. Took away her shame. And made her fruitful. Every time God remembered a man, his life was no longer the same. I pray for you today that no matter where you have been abandoned, and forgotten, no matter who have chosen, that your file will not get to the top. I declare to you today, heaven is beckoning on you. Heaven is calling for you. Heaven is calling your name. Heaven is mentioning your name. You see, when God, when heaven remembers you, it is no longer important who has said you will not be remembered. I told you that I came here with a Bible study prepared, but the Spirit of the Lord keeps steering me away from it and saying to me to talk to you about the dimension of kings. There's a way kings function. There's a mindset that you have. There's a mindset. God wants you to have a certain mindset that it is God who promotes. It is God who elevates. It is God who establishes. It is God who has the ability to make a wilderness a fruitful land. It is God. It is God. It is God. It is God. Society, family, and friends will have their way of judging us. They will judge us by their standards. They will judge us by their expectations. They will assess us, put us where they think we belong. You know, the Spirit of the Lord was dealing with me over this today so strongly that wherever people have said you are not good enough to enter, it simply means God wants to use you to disgrace the enemy. The scripture says, I woke up with that scripture this morning in the book of Isaiah. It says he's the one who frustrates the tokens of liars. That means whatever they have said that does not agree with God's word is a lie. It is God who frustrates it. God has a ministry of frustrating the words that are said concerning you that don't agree with his word. He frustrates the tokens of liars. Somebody said something that blessed me. I think it was Andrew Womack that said something that blessed me. He said, if you are a Christian, and the devil is not coming against you, it means you are running in the same direction with the devil. Do you understand that? If the devil is not coming against your marriage, not coming against your finances, not coming against your health, if the devil is not coming against, it means you and the devil are heading in the same direction. That's why there is no confrontation. But if you are not headed in the same direction, there will always be a confrontation. So the fight is good for us. Oh, it was David that said, it was good that I was afflicted. Because he knew what came out of his affliction. I don't know what you're passing through. You came here tonight in the midst of this cold. So many people didn't come out because of the weather. I don't know what has been. The enemy has been trying to use to wear you down. It's making you feel like the system has a say, final say over your life. That's a lie of the devil. The one who remembered Mephibosheth is remembering you tonight. No matter where you are, in your own lordly bar, he is meeting you right there. I see the king's chariot coming for you. I see the king's chariot coming for you. I said, I see the king's chariot coming for you. I see the king's chariot coming for you. There are angels on assignment. Angels have received instruction. They are going out on your behalf. They are fighting your fight. They are bringing your victory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Scripture, just so you don't accuse me that you didn't read the verse. Are you here? One Corinthians. Okay, since it's all in 1 Corinthians, let's read two verses. Chapter 11, verse 23. It's a scripture we read always when we brought the communion. I want to show you something there. Then we go to chapter 15. Just write down those two scriptures. Not 20, 23. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now, the important part is the first part, the A part of the scripture. "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered." So, what I gave you is what I already received. Now, the Lord said, this month is our month of witnessing. Go to chapter 15 and verse number 3. Quickly. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." You cannot be a witness for something you have not received. You can't. Paul tells us on those two passages, look, what I'm giving you is what I already received. God does not expect you to witness. I told you on Sunday, in the first service on Sunday, I told you that when Jesus was departing, he knew we were going to have enemies. That is why he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you get power. Power is for what? Power is for humiliating the enemy. So he does not expect us to witness in a shameful way. Excuse me. If your life is stagnated and your life is broken and your life is battered, when you try to say to people the Lord is good, they will look at you and ask you, is he good to you yourself? This is why I want you to pray this evening. We said there are enemies. Yes. I want you to expect that God is sending his chariots for you. Why? Because he wants you to be a witness. Do you understand me now? Yeah. He wants you to be a witness. Your story is not complete if you go to people and tell them the Lord is good and they cannot see the goodness in your life. Your story is not complete. You are trying to give people something you don't have. That man said, what I gave you is what I received. What I received, I gave you. God is giving somebody something tonight. I said something is coming your way tonight. Your testimony is going to be so established that when you want to witness, you will witness with boldness. You will witness with confidence. When you want to speak, you will speak with a boldness and with a confidence that says, what I have, I give unto you. As what Peter said. All the apostles repeated almost the same thing in different ways. Peter told the man by the beautiful gate, he said to the man, he said, such as I have. He said, look on us. He said, such as I have, I give you. John was writing in his epistle. He said, that which we had, that which we saw, that which we handled of the word of life. So that is what we are trying to present to you. You will be a true witness this month. I said, you'll be a true witness this month. When you say to people, Jesus is alive, they will look at you and they can tell Jesus is truly alive. When you tell people, God is good, they will look into your house. They'll say, we can see God has been good to him. Lift up your hands. And I want you to declare tonight, Lord, I believe this is my month of witnessing. And I'm going to be a living proof, a living proof, a living proof that Jesus is alive. I declare this is my season. I declare this is my month. I declare this is my season in my family, in my health, in my finances, the works of my hands. I declare I am a living proof. 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 Ikadebo ekazegedata. Glory to the name of the Lord. I pray for you tonight. You will yet be fruitful. The people looked at Mephibosheth every day. They probably laughed at him, but they didn't know his day was coming. I pray for you tonight. Wherever it looks like your inheritance has been taken from you, oh, this God of wonders, he took Saul out of the palace, but he brought Mephibosheth, a cripple, back into the palace. I pray for you tonight. What your grandfather, what your father could not achieve, what those who think they are more qualified could not get, those with legs, those who were not crippled, were taken out of the palace. But this man who was crippled was restored back to the place of power. I pray for you tonight. What those more qualified than you could not get, God is sending it to you this month. He's sending it to you this week. He's sending it to you tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Only the covenant could make it happen. Saul was a king, but he had no covenant. But Mephibosheth was a product of a covenant. A perfect picture of the righteousness that is at work in the life of a new creation. It was Jonathan who had a covenant. It was not Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth was a product of the covenant. And that is what the new creation is. I pray for you today that the blood that was spilled on the cross was not spilled for nothing. It is speaking for you tonight. It is bringing back your lost heritage. It is bringing back what they stole from you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody is listening to me tonight, and you have labored, and what rightly belongs to you has been taken from you. And even you have come to accept that it is fine, let them take it. But the Spirit of the Lord said to tell you tonight, you will be surprised because it is coming back to you like a dream. There is a force, there is a power stronger than human abilities and human connections. That power is the anointing, the Spirit of His grace that is available here tonight. It will bring back what rightly belongs to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And in this month of witnessing, when you go to witness, you are going to be talking about that which has happened in your own life. Because you cannot give people what you don't have. I pray for you tonight. Receive the turnaround that you deserve. Let your name be mentioned in high places. And in the very place where God has kept you now, may He give you open doors that you never saw before. May He open your eyes, give you favor that you never knew existed around you. You are blessed of the Lord. The rest of the month will be filled with pleasant stories and testimonies. And as you go from here tonight, every zebra that Satan has planted to kill your story, to close your doors, to steal from you your inheritance, to maneuver people's hearts against you, the God that I serve, He will bring those zebras to bow at your feet. They will serve you. They will serve you. They will save you. They will watch you go higher. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those zebras, they will not die. They will watch you go up. They will become the table on which you will step on. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Until the God you serve has humbled them. And has brought them to where they bow their knees and confess to the Lordship of your God. The Lord will deal so with every zebra in your life. Go with the peace of the Lord. And the grace of God strengthen and preserve you and uphold you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Somebody say a better amen.
Amen. For further information on this CD and other life-changing messages, visit our website on www.thechristlifeworld.org or visit our in-house bookshop at the Christ Life Commission, corner of Opstal and Bloekomdraai Street, Kempton Park West. You can also phone us on 011-393-6016 or 074-6016 714-719-9372.